This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Colonel Bob McGinnis, who is also a military analyst we turn to a lot on critical issues of national security. And Colonel, obviously, the Iranian nuclear threat has been at the forefront for years now. And now we know just in the past few days they had a second major facility at Qom that the world didn't know about until last week. And now today we see the test firing of these medium-range missiles that are capable of going about 1,200 miles. How do we digest all of this?
There's a long list of activities that the Iranians have been priming the pump in preparation for the negotiations in Geneva on Thursday of this week. Not only have they recently launched missiles on Sunday, a couple of short-range ballistic missiles, but today, Monday, the Shahab-3 and the Sijil missiles were launched. These are their most sophisticated weapon systems that can launch, and certainly a warhead as far away as Israel and southern Europe. So this is a very significant, incrementally increasing danger for what we're confronting here. Keep in mind that the motivation behind this is to flex Iran's military might and show its readiness for a military attack, because it anticipates that eventually one of the Western nations, or Israel, will seek to destroy its various facilities that even Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, acknowledges that nobody's going to believe that Tehran is not destined to have nuclear weapons if given the opportunity. So this is a serious time.
Given what we learned last week about the other major facility, Colonel, and also the tests over the past couple of days, how much does this strengthen Iran's hand going into this week's talks in Geneva, and how much does it perhaps think its hand has been strengthened by this?
Most of what's gone on is for domestic reasons, so that Ahmadinejad can argue that they've done everything possible to demonstrate to the West that they're open. In other words, the facility at Fordo, which is the one that's run by the Revolutionary Guard that was announced this past week, one that we ostensibly have known about for the last couple of years, was really a secret facility for enrichment that was controlled by the Revolutionary Guard. And the only real purpose would appear to be for enrichment for the purpose of making a nuclear weapon. That plus the fact that we know that they've been working in the past on weaponization, and recent revelations indicate that they have triggering research and even the working on warhead construction for their advanced missiles. These are all very worrisome indicators, and so we likely shouldn't believe what they're saying. Now, what I expect the president's going to do as a result of negotiations on Thursday is basically kick the can. In other words, he's going to conclude that they need to give another ultimatum to Iran for by the end of December. Either they open up their books and open up all the facilities, or else there will be consequences. Now, those consequences at this point appear to be gasoline sanctions, and gasoline sanctions, in my estimate, because of the on-again, off-again Russian, Chinese, and other, cooperation is in doubt.
Colonel, with Iran as far as it is down this road towards a deployable nuclear program, gasoline sanctions, as crippling as those might be, do those really smack to you as something that would cause them to reevaluate their program?
Only if they were to work. And I don't think gasoline sanctions will work, in part because they have stockpiled millions of barrels of gasoline recently. The Venezuelans and the Chinese have gone in and increased imports to Iran. And really, Russia holds the linchpin here. Russian could overland and across the Caspian Sea ship more than enough gasoline to offset anything that we may try to blockade in the Persian Gulf, which is where most of the outside gasoline comes from. So the chance that gasoline sanctions would really bring that regime to its knees, I think, is doubtful.
Colonel, it's been said on both sides of the political aisle that the other side isn't doing it right. We heard the Democrats criticize President Bush for not engaging in direct talks despite the record of hostility over the past 30 years. Now you've got Republicans saying Obama's being weak, and it's showing because he doesn't really have any teeth to throw at the Iranians to make them even reevaluate, much less stop their nuclear activities. What are the major differences between the diplomatic approaches of the most recent as well as the current administrations?
Unfortunately, the diplomacy has failed in part because Ahmadinejad and the clerics that run the Iranian regime have refused to really talk. It's only because of the threats that were presented in June of this year that they even acknowledged a willingness to meet with us on the 1st of October. But those tests, because of all the precursor activities over the last couple of weeks, I think basically doom those talks to, it's really not going to go anywhere. And as a result of that, you will have a further delay. But they are not convinced that a strike is inevitable. And until they're convinced that a strike is inevitable, I don't think that they're going to be forthcoming on this whole issue.
So does Obama gain some credibility then by being more friendly? And when Iran doesn't respond in kind, it makes the what the Iranians are doing more obvious? Or is it, as you suggested perhaps just a moment ago, that by making these overtures, it only gives Iran more time to accomplish what they want to accomplish?
Well, Iran is very good at delay and obfuscation, deception. They have all sorts of deceptive things taking place. I don't think that the president's accomplishing much by allowing this deception to continue. They'll play it against us. Diplomacy's failed. I think sanctions have very little opportunity because of the international lack of cooperation. And unfortunately, and this is hard to say, but unfortunately, the only thing that that regime will understand is sheer force. And so we're up against a very tough decision that the president's going to have to make.
And, Colonel, before we let you go, there are many who believe now it's almost a fait accompli that since the Western powers aren't able to do much on this, or at least haven't to this point, that basically within the next 8 months or so, somewhere in there, Israel's going to have to do the work for us.
Likely Israel is prepared to do what it has to do, either through cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, or F-16Is, they can certainly take out a lot of the facilities, and especially if we provide them with assistance. But that would only be a delay action. I think the bigger issue is whether or not it would cause a nuclear arms race in the region, which I think that it will, and I think the Saudis will be the first to up-arm, and the Egyptians will follow closely thereafter. And so the equation in the Gulf really ends up a very different one than we have today.
And that would be a very unpleasant escalation. Colonel, thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Colonel Bob McGinnis. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.